that. Turn with me to Titus. This week and next week we'll finish in Titus. Next week is our last Sunday in Titus, and so. But turn with your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Just three verses we'll be looking at here. But if you've been with us, we've been talking about doing good, that our beliefs and our actions have to match one another. And that in the letter to Titus, that through the power of the Spirit, Paul writes and reminds that God wants you and I to do good works. And good works do mean coming to church, worshiping, praying with one another. Good works also means helping your neighbor, being kind, forgiving that spouse, forgiving your child, helping out, giving money to someone. Those are all part of the good works which the Holy Spirit calls us to as disciples of Jesus. And so we're going to be talking this week and next week, finishing our series here in Titus. So turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Just three quick verses here. And it says here in verse 9, it says, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful and is self-condemned." Let's pray here. Jesus, in these next few moments, we just ask that, God, you would speak to our hearts. May your word be quickened to us, and may we be doers of the word. May we also be hearers, but may we be doers of the word. And Jesus, we say thank you for your word, but thank you for becoming the word that became flesh and died for us and rose again, took away our sin, and is coming back for us. And so, Jesus, we say thank you for that, and we praise you all the day long. And everyone said, amen, amen. And so, as always, we've been doing during this series, just what did you hear the Holy Spirit say? I'm not going to go around with the mic, but anything stood out to you? I know that's a quick verse, but did anybody hear anything? Anything stood out to them in those verses? If not, we'll keep moving on, but okay. Okay, we always want to give a chance to share. All right, so here's today's focus is this. Avoid the drama. That's going to be today's focus. We're going to be talking about the drama mamas and the controversial Charlies today. All right, now, I picked Charlie. I know none of you are named Charlie, but Charlie is my brother, my little brother. My little brother can be controversial at times with bigger brother. We butted heads a lot of times growing up. But anyhow, but today we're going to talk about avoid the drama, how to not be a drama mama or a controversial Charlie. And how do you avoid that in the church, in the family, in your neighborhood, and at your work? And so with that, I have something I want to do. I'm going to need some volunteers here to eat some things. And so, now, we're not going to eat anything disgusting, nothing nasty. This is going to be good. It's cookies. So who would like to eat a cookie? Char? Is that you? Come on down. This is where I need the theme music for Price is Right. Is it Family Feud? Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. I need a couple other volunteers. Come on. Two other volunteers? Anybody? Come on down, Mackenzie. You get to eat a cookie, guys. When do you get to eat a cookie in church? I mean, that's just amazing. All right. Oh, Jaden, come. Oh, Jaden. Yes, Jaden. All right, Jaden. Let me get to here. Let me get the right things here. Close your eyes. This is not a trick. This is not like bug flavored. All right. Face the audience. You got to face the audience. All right. Jaden, you come over here. This is purely statistical research here. So ready, Mackenzie, you stay here. Char, come over here. You cannot be by each other that much. Okay. All right, I'm going to each give you a cup. You need to close your eyes. Close your eyes if you peek. Only God will know, but Jaden, open your hand. I'm going to give you a cup. Don't look. Oh, hold. I should be more specific in my details. All right, Jaden, hold the cup. Do not look in it. Close your eyes. Close your eyes, Mackenzie. I'm going to give you the cup. Here's the cup. Close your eyes. I'm going to trust all of you are doing the right thing. Oh, don't. Char was looking, guys. Oh, my goodness. Char, Lita, what are you doing? All right, everybody close your eyes. Now reach in the cup. Take out your cookie. Keep your eyes closed and eat your cookie.
I have gum in my mouth.
Oh, you got gum in your mouth? Oh, Mackenzie. Here you go. Here's a napkin. Spit it out in your napkin. I'll take it. This is a full-service pastor illustration right here. No, it's gone. Yes, 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 yes. You eat the cookie, not your gum, right? Eat your cookie. Just eat it. They're brand new. I promise you, they're brand new.
I mean, no,
just eat it. Just eat the whole thing. Just eat it. Okay, keep eating it. All right, Jaden, what do you think yours is?
Oreo.
An Oreo? Okay, all right. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oreo.
Okay, let me have your cup. You can put the cookie back in there, okay? Hold tight. We got cookie number two coming. There you go, Jaden. Thank you. All right. What do you think you had?
It's good.
It's good. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I keep your eyes closed. Okay, here's your cup for you. Ready? All right. Here's your cup. Whoop. Thank you. There you go. Jaden, I got you, buddy. Right there. All right. Reach in there, eyes closed. Take your next cookie and eat it. So the first two, you said it was Oreo, and you just said it was. It's good. Okay. All right. So eat these ones. I promise you, these are brand new. They're fresh from the boat that's been out in the ocean for about 5 months, but it's okay. Okay, all right, so
this
you,
one's
okay, Jane's not even eating it. Is it that bad, bro? All right, you guys take one bite, just come on. It's not camp, it's not youth camp like we were at, buddy, all right? Where you had to eat tuna and all that stuff.
Rocky.
It's what?
It's rocky.
Kind of, yeah, rocky, yeah, it's kind of hard, chunky, okay. All right, you can open your eyes, all right. So you guys had the off brand, okay? This is Hy-Vee's genuine Hy-Vee Oreo replacement supplement. Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah, you did. Shar, what you said this was off, you said it was generic? Yeah. Let's see what you got. Yeah, this, yeah, you got number B. You were generic. So your first one was an Oreo. So the first one you two ate was real Oreos. The first one you ate was the generic one. Could you guys tell the difference?
Our first one.
Could you tell the difference? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so we all of it. Thank you guys can sit down. Go ahead and sit down. All right. You're welcome. Why don't you go around and pass out? Everybody wants an Oreo. Shar, will you do that for me? This is a fun Sunday. Go ahead, go pass them around. Anybody want an Oreo? Raise your hand if you want an Oreo. Come on. You can get one Oreo. Now, how many of you have tasted a real Oreo before? How many of you have gotten the off-brand and you've been disappointed? Yes. How many of you have ever had, you know, Pepsi and then you get, like, the off-brand at Walmart, whatever that's called, Sam's Club, and you're like, oh, my goodness, this is nasty. How many of you are there? How many of you know the real thing versus the imitation thing, right? All right? It's always better to have the real thing. I know it was a Coca-Cola commercial back in the day when I was a teenager, but there's a difference between the real and the fake. There's something between the authentic, organic goodness versus the chemical, synthetic, cheapness, just mass-produced food item. Right, a good Oreo will always, hands down, beat the imitation Hy-Vee. But when in doubt, when you're a church, you buy cheap, you go Hy-Vee, all right? You got to save the money. All right. But there's always a difference between what's real and what's fake. And how do you discern what's real and what's fake? Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a drama? Have you ever found yourself and you've been around someone and they get the juicy details for you? They've got this new knowledge. They've got this insight. They heard something about so-and-so. Oh, have you not learned this? Have you not heard this? And you get caught up. Oh, yeah, over here, Char. We got more over here. Yeah, we got some young men over here. That man, I should bring Oreos every week. Everybody's like alive and woo, awake. I'm like, hey, it's good, man, for the word of God. But have you ever been caught up in drama? Someone's came to you, and they've had details, a new idea, or some type of special knowledge, or they're like, hey, you know, you got to hear this. And you just sit there, and you're like, oh, my goodness, this is so good. I've never heard this. I'm going to be, oh, and you just take it in, hook, line, and sinker. And when you take it in, later on, you find out sometimes that you've been duped. You've been deceived. You've been intentionally lied to. You thought you were eating the real thing. You thought you were eating the Oreo, but you really got the generic off-brand that's been on the shelf for 5 years. And you're like, what in the world? And 5 years, yeah, that was a little exaggeration, yeah. That'd be bad. But you've been there, right? You've gotten pulled into some type of drama, some type of thing, and you find out that what you thought wasn't the real thing. Well, today I want to talk about the drama, about void the drama. Here in our story in Scripture, the young church was being drawn into drama. They were being drawn in away from the real thing, the real authentic message of Jesus, over here to where Paul is saying, hey, stop worrying about all this babble and these genealogies and these controversial things. But the young Christian, the young church were coming over here and being enamored with the fake when Paul and the apostles had come and had preached the real authentic gospel, who Jesus is. Why did God send his son? All the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so how does this happen to us? How do we get caught up in error? And how do we not perceive the truth or the real thing or the authentic thing in our lives? Now, we love a good Oreo, and man, it sure is good. But how many of you, a lot of times, we settle for the fake in the imitation? We were like, well, it's just cheaper, it's easier, it doesn't require me to think, to take time to prepare good food. I'll just take the imitation, and we just go over here. A lot of times in the church, we get lulled into other things that aren't the gospel, aren't the word of God, because, boy, it sounds good. It's easy. This person or this pastor has, in essence, go ahead and digested all this and just give it to me, and it's just, you know, bullet line out for him. I'm just going to take it as is. Instead of going back to the real thing, church, I want to suggest to you that this is the real thing, and submit, right? Listen to somebody on YouTube is good. Listening to your spouse talk about the Bible, that's good. Reading a book by somebody wrote, it's okay, it's good. But church, this is the real thing. This can never be generically induced or created or artificially remade. We have to go back to the scriptures. And today I'm going to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit guided the words of Paul to write and to remind the young church, but that to avoid the drama, to avoid the imitation, to avoid the fake, and hang on to, but dive into, bite into the realness, the meat, the steak and potatoes, they say, of the Word of God. Bite in, stay in, desire the gospel, the real work of Scripture, the real work of Jesus. In our Scripture here, we just read, here in Titus chapter 3, on both sides of this, in the beginning, before chapter 2, and right after this verse, Paul warns that the false teachers were teaching foolishness, that they were leading the church astray into this synthetic non-gospel, you would say. And he warned Titus that his job was to protect the church as a shepherd, protect the church from these arguments, of these things that were just fake and not the true gospel. In 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul warns that there was Jews coming in that were traveling around Turkey, that were coming in to their midst and talking about circumcision and other things that weren't necessarily a part of the gospel message. And he warned Titus that these people were coming, they were infiltrating your ranks, and you need to be aware of this. And so I want to talk to you today about, as a disciple of Jesus, why is it important to avoid the drama mamas in your life? Why is it important not to be the controversial Charlies? Why is it important to stay away from the synthetics, stay away from those things that we've all seen online or on YouTube, or those books that, hey, if you read this, here's the 14 secrets of Paul, and if you read this, oh my goodness, you'll unlock, you know, your spiritual gold card, and you'll be able to, you know, I don't know, do whatever. And you've seen those things, right? Or maybe you've been a part of that, where you've seen the lure over here to talk about, well, this one verse or this one word in Greek means this, and if you say this one word in Greek, then Jesus has to bless you with $100 every week or something. You ever been there? I've seen those things. They're all out there. And it's a easy desire to pull the church over to the synthetic and the generic instead of the gospel accounts and the true work of what the gospel is. And so look at a few things here. Look at verse 9 with me here. We're going to break these down real quick. But Paul, it says here, through the power of the Spirit, he says, but avoid foolish controversies. I want to go through a couple of these words and point out some scriptures to us. 1 and 2 Timothy, where Paul writes to the young pastor Timothy, were written at the same time as he wrote the Titus on Crete. Paul wrote 1 Timothy and Titus together, and then about 4 years later, he wrote 2 Timothy. And so we're going to juxtapose these two letters that went out at the same time to the young church and see how they line up and realize that this wasn't just a thing in Crete that was going on, but this also happened in Ephesus and Corinth and the other churches around Turkey here. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, and he says, remind them of these things, the church, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are, I'm going to just call them H and Philetus, because I don't know how to pronounce that, and who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. Now, we are called to avoid, but some of us, man, we welcome this stuff into our life. We welcome controversies. We welcome people that just come in and talking just nonsense. Have you ever been there in church? Someone comes in and they're like, as a pastor, sometimes I get it. And, Pastor, have you heard this secret new document that they found? And it was Paul's secret letter to the Ephesians, and only this person has it, and they've been translating it. And I'm like, what in the world? Since I became lead pastor, I've had many letters and things come in the mail. Here's this new secret knowledge. Here's this new thing. Church, Paul warns us many, many years ago that we are to avoid foolishness, foolish babble. Because he says straightforward that it leads people away. It's like gangrene. It just spreads. And I want to remind us today, as things are happening in our country, that we need to be careful to avoid being sucked in to just mindlessly talk, mindless babble, theories and genealogies, things that just don't matter. And Paul warns us here that it only brings ruins to the hearers. And if you remember later on, Paul writes about, he says, only speak what's going to edify and build up the church and those that listen around you. And so is your talk, what you're babbling about, is it building up or is it tearing down? Or is it ruining people? Secondly, Paul talks about controversies, that to avoid controversies. And in 1 Timothy 6, he says this. He says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about the words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. Wow. Church, that's heavy. But how many of us, at times, we listen to things on YouTube, read other books, we listen to online blogs or articles that just, they're a controversy. Or they say, hey, did you hear that, you know, Biden was the Antichrist or Trump is the Antichrist? I mean, I've seen both of those in the last year. And they're written by Christian authors, pastors, Christian ministries. Now, church, we got to be careful of that. The people have gotten sucked into some of this stuff. Can we just say Biden's not the Antichrist, nor is Trump, all right? He's not one, either one of them, all right? Now, we all act like anti-Christ at times. We all can be that. But let's just be clear. Scripture does not say Trump or Biden is the Antichrist. But that's been promoted. And people at Christianity, sometimes we get sucked into this. And Paul warns us over 2,000 years ago that, church, we can't be sucked into controversies, right? Some people think, well, you know, other controversies. You know, can you have tambourines or not? Or, you know, should, I don't know, is the Spirit real or not? Are the gifts of the Spirit real or not? There's some controversies that don't need to be talked about. They're settled. They're settled in the Word of God, and we don't have to debate these or wait for some special pastor or some special revelation. They are settled in the Word of God. But Paul reminds us here that those that want to talk about these and want to stir up controversies, they have an unhealthy craving. And so, church, I want to ask ourselves today, do you have an unhealthy craving for quarreling? And let's just take it, let's put it on a real practical level. Do you have an unhealthy desire to quarrel with your spouse, with your kids, with your boss, with the political neighbor who thinks different than you? Do you have this unhealthy quarreling within you? You just crave it. You want to fight. You want to argue. And you might be saying, Pastor Dan, I love Jesus, but boy, I love to stir up. I love to just throw something in the, you know, the conversation. I've heard that before. I just like to just stir up the pot, as they say. Well, there's nothing wrong talking about truth and policies, procedures, but there comes a point as the believer's life where we're stirring the pot to bring attention to ourselves. And the Scripture warns us we have an unhealthy craving for controversy, for quarrels about words. Now, Paul here is talking about biblical doctrine. But we all know that we can extrapolate that into our daily lives. About, do we have unhealthy craving for controversy? What does controversy do? As it says here in the very last one, the very last thing it says, it creates evil suspicions. And church, that breaks my heart is when believers create controversies and it leads people away and it gets people an evil suspicion about the church or about the world of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, it draws them away. I'm like, wow, that's so sad. That's so sad. Next up here, he talks about genealogies. Now, many of you, I've not heard you come in church and say, hey, Pastor Dan, here's my genealogy. I've never heard anybody in our church say that. But at that time, Jewish lineage was very important. Where did Jesus come from? As Paul said, he was a Jew of a Jew. He was, you know, tribe of Benjamin. He was trained by Gamaliel. Paul listed his genealogy to say, hey, I'm the it guy, but all that I consider rubbish if I know Christ and him no more abundant. But genealogies, look at 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 5, and Paul writes here, he says, I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So what was Paul talking to us here? What is genealogy? When we come in, and if we say, I've heard this before, how many of you said, well, my dad was a believer, my mom was a believer, my great-great-grandparents were believers, and I've been in this church for 50-plus years, and I've given, and we may not list necessarily our family heritage, but we list our genealogy of how long we've been in the church, how long we've served, and we use it almost as, well, this makes me a believer or makes me more saved than you or whatever we want to say before. And Paul reminds the young church here, Timothy, and to the church on Crete, that when you promote these genealogies, that it promotes speculation rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. What we do is, it's in essence works-based. When we talk about, well, Pastor Dan, I've been a member for 35 years. I've been tithing for 30 years. I've served for 30 years. My great-grandparents, my kids, I'm a believer. What we do is we, in essence, say, by my works, I'm saved, and I deserve what God owes me. Versus by faith, we are saved what? We are saved by grace through faith. Saying, God, I come, and God, I don't deserve any of this. I might be the most smartest, richest, honest, pious person, but God, that's like filthy rags to you. Genealogies promote self, promote my works. But when we don't promote genealogies, and it promotes grace-based salvation, that God, I come before you. I've got nothing to offer you. And Paul reminds the church that it takes away from living by faith and saying that, God, I need your love. God, cleansing me, clean my heart out, because God, I need you. But it comes to me, hey, God, I've served. I've been a nursery worker for 30 years. I should get in free. And I'll tell God, if you serve in the nursery for 30 years, maybe you should get a special room in heaven, all right? But anyhow, it's not work-based material. Yeah. Some of you are like, yes, preach it, yeah. But anyhow, but genealogies, in our that creates work-based. And Paul reminds us that we're not work-based. We are grace-based by faith. And so he reminds us of that. So the question it brings us to, how do you stop the drama from entering your life? How do you stop the drama from entering our church or entering your home? Well, your work. The first thing is this: don't welcome the unsound teaching into your life. Don't welcome it into your home, your mind, your church. How many of you saw a video on YouTube and you're like, man, this guy or girl is whack. Man, what they're teaching is whack. But you watch the whole thing, and then after you watch it, what happens? You're like, boy, I wonder if that's true. I mean, really, are they hiding aliens underneath the White House and they're having pizza every night? You're like, I wonder if that's true. No, it's not true, all right? But first thing, don't welcome it into your life. Look at what the scripture here. In 2 John 8 through 11, it says, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Man, that's a stern warning, church. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whatever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Now, boy, church, this hits against the nice Christian. We want to be nice in America. We want to be friendly. We want to be the most welcoming. Oh, that church is nice. That pastor's nice. Oh, we're nice. But church, think about this in the culture of this was. In the ancient Middle East, hospitality was the niceness of our day. You wanted to be hospitable to those that came to knock on your door. You want to give them food, water, shelter. To refuse someone was a great insult in the Middle East. But through the power of the Spirit, Paul writes to the church, to the Jews, to the new believers, and said, hey, you tell them, oh, no. You tell that person, oh, no, not in my house. You're not coming in. To avoid the drama, to not be a drama mama or a controversial Charlie, is first you must refute the sound teaching, not even let it into your presence. On your phone, on your YouTube, in your email, whatever you're reading the book, whatever it is, you got to get it. You don't even let it get near you. Now that sounds harsh in American Christianity because we want to be the nice Christians. We want society to know that we're nice. But church, can I challenge you and encourage you? There are some things we've got to put our hand down and say a firm no. Firm no. A firm no. No way, Jose. Whatever you want to put it in your terminology, nope. Gender, sexual identity, nope. It's a hard firm. It's man and woman, marriage, that's it. God spoke it, it's done. There's not this controversy, there's not a revelation, there's nothing. It's boom, it's settled. It's done. We're made in his image. Marriage, the church, you pick, there's some things in Scripture. The works of the Spirit. Those that want to argue with me about the works of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's dead, he's not real, that was for a bygone hour. I don't even entertain that anymore with people. That's, forget it. Nope, it's in the Scripture. Nope, and there's many things that are the firm things, the firm, you'd say, the railroad that's been laid down for us. There's firm things in Scripture that do not debate, that are not up for question. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, period. I'm not here to entertain anybody else. I'm not here to say, nope. No way, Jose. And this verse is what Paul reminds us of through his writing and through John, that we have to say no to some things. People want to debate. Pick an issue. What, I don't know. Nope, sorry. I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to cause up controversy and drama and quarrels. Nope. We're just not going to go there. Now, that sounds unwelcoming. And, oh, Pastor Dan, you're not going to listen to the Mormons? Nope. Sorry. This is the Word of God. We'll talk about that, but nothing else. I'm not talking about Joseph Smith. I'm not talking about any of our AG books or our AG doctrines or positional papers. We're going to go straight to the Word of God. That's it. And if they want to sit down and praise God, I'll buy them a cheeseburger and we'll talk. Other than that, nope. Nope. But our scripture here reminds us that whatever you invite in, you are agreeing to that. So parents, you have kids that are watching stuff on YouTube or social media, reading stuff in your personal homes, your libraries, squash it, cut up the library card, burn the Kindle, burn the iPad reader, burn it all, break it all. Now that sounds, oh, Pastor Dan, I paid a lot of money for that. Well, okay, maybe don't break the iPad, but break the subscription account to whatever they're downloading or what you're reading. As many as you know, a lot of us in here, we're big readers. I'm a big reader. I love the library. I love books. But church, I went through my own library, my own church personal library, even last week, and I say it so hard, I went through and there was books in there that I read just to get the other point of view, and I'm like, man, this is theological garbage. This is junk. This is gangrene. I don't need to know junk from the real thing because we have the real thing in front of us. And that book, I paid good money for. That went in the trash can. And I would encourage you, refute anything that comes near you. Refute it. Now, there's a point to understand our world. Like Paul, he understood the philosophies of the day. He understood the cultural philosophies. But there comes a point in our lives we have to refute some things and say, I'm not going to read that book. A clear example, Rob Bell, if you remember a few years ago, he wrote a book called Love Wins. And in that book, he talked about how pretty much there's no one's going to go to hell. Everybody gets a second chance and all this garbage. And I was so close. I wanted to buy that book because I wanted to be able to talk about the other side with people. And I thought to myself, well, if I pay that $15, I'm giving him royalties and I'm giving credence to that. Hey, he has a valid point. And I wanted to be like, no way, man, no way. And I remember some people asked me, well, Pastor Dan, we know you're a reader, aren't you? Did you read the book? Can you give us the cliff notes? I said, I'm sorry. I said, the Bible already speaks to that. That's my cliff notes are in the Bible. And I don't need Rob Bell's book, and I don't need to read that. And so some of you today need to take a hard look at your music, your books, whatever you're ingesting into your life, and you need to put your hands up and refute and shut that door. Secondly, how do we deal with a divisive person in the church? How do we deal with someone that comes into our midst and says, hey, Jesus gave a special revelation to Joseph Smith or to, Roxanne over here. And Roxanne has the new, Paul's second revelation he wrote, on his iPad. Oh, Roxanne's got it, And how do we refute people that want to come and stir up controversies and quarrels and all that? Turn with me real quick over to Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew. It's right here in our book, in our Bibles here. Jesus gave us, man, a great path of what to do. Matthew 18 here, verses 15 through 17. Let's just read it here. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. That's hard. That's a hard one to live up to. But as for this house, if you're going to come in here, if someone comes into our body, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to that person one-on-one and state the issue. Now, Jesus is talking about here if someone sins against you, but as Paul writes in what we've been reading about in Scripture, if the person that's stirring up controversy and genealogies is sinning against the Scriptures, against what the Holy Spirit wants, what Jesus wants. And so we're to go to that and show him our issue. Secondly, if he doesn't listen, you take your brother and yourself and go to one or two other witnesses. Thirdly, if there's still no resolution, tell the issue to the church leaders, to the church itself. Now, in this context, it meant in front of the church. Now, in my church growing up, I've only been a couple times when our pastor brought an issue up to the full body, and this person, in essence, presented, said, here's what I'm doing. I don't care what the church thinks or what the Word of God thinks. And the deacons and the pastor had an open talk in front of the church. And I remember my eyes were wide open. I was like, oh, my goodness. It's like Judge Judy, man. It's like, what's going to happen here? And I remember, like, what is going on? But what I didn't realize is they were faithfully executing the words of Jesus and being faithful to biblical discipline and biblical correction. Now, the church, this is hard, but I want to encourage us, if you want to stir up controversy, this is the path you're going to go through. And then finally, if he still refuses restoration or confession of guilt, then have nothing else to do with him. Once again, this cuts across the grain of nice Christian, American Christianity. We want to be nice. We want to be accepting. Church, we can be fully accepting and loving and nice, but also be firm and true and accountable and hold people accountable to the Word of God. But this is secondly how you deal with a divisive person in your life or someone wants to stir up controversy. And if they're in this church, you go to them. or if they're in your neighborhood or that, you can go to them. Now, they may not be over a spiritual issue, but you can put this practically at work in your job or in your neighborhood with friends or neighbors of how this works. And then lastly, how to deal with drama. Remember who is the mastermind of drama. It should be no surprise. It was Satan, our arch enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, a classic verse. Be sober-minded, be watchful. These first phrases, remember, in all these other verses, Paul says, be on your guard, watch yourselves, be ready, avoid. There is that warning, that church, we just can't just sit around. We have to be ready and mindful. We must be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, seeking someone. Drama mamas and controversial Charlies are looking for people to lead astray, to pull away from Jesus, pull away from the real thing of Jesus and the gospel, pull away from Scripture. It really concerns me that pastors will spend more time sometimes preaching about one book or talking about a principle or talking about something in their messages and mention literally one verse and then speak 40 minutes on everything else and don't even touch the Bible or touch the Bible verses or go back to it. It really concerns me. And I'll just speak from inside our own tribe, the Assemblies of God. There's some that really preach the Word and go through, dive into the Word. There's some that'll give one verse and then talk over here about, you know, a funny story that happened to them, a book they read, a poem they read. And all that stuff's okay to bring into a message. But when the meat of it's over here, it gets concerning to me. Because what are you trying to draw people to? Are you trying to draw them to man-made philosophy, tradition, or to the Word of God, which is tried and true and is faithful and is our guide and witness? But Satan would love to come in and, once again, get you over here. He wants to pull you over to the generic, to the imitation over here. So I'll worry about, this word, this controversy, this quarrel. He'd love to pull your mind over here and then just gobble you up and destroy you. But we are called to be sober-minded and to be watchful. He's looking to scam us. He is the father of lies. And quarrels and controversies in the church are not harmless. And you, each one of you here, it's your responsibility to guard this flock, to guard one another. When someone goes online and says, hey, I watch his YouTube pastor, and you watch, and you're like, oh my goodness, this isn't even the Word of God. This is so far off base. It's your job to correct them. Or someone reads a book, a blog post, or listens to something, or invites, you know, someone into their home. You in this church need to guard one another. And you have the power of the Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, give me the words, give me the right words of wisdom and discernment, bring the thoughts of God in my mind to be able to go and help, as Peter says, gently restore your brother back to Christ, or sister back to Christ into the Word. The devil will use anybody. He'll use anybody, any story, anything, any website, any book, you name it, he will use it to deceive us, to create drama, to get our eyes off Jesus. And church, I just want to encourage you and warn you that right now there's things even in our own country that can distract us. We can quarrel about the House, the Congress, the President. You can quarrel about the state government. You can quarrel about the economy. How about electric vehicles versus ethanol or gas? There's a million things we could talk about right now that could take our eyes over here and be like, oh, we got to, oh. And all of a sudden, we don't talk about Jesus anymore to our culture. Or we don't talk about Jesus in over this because we get so caught up in this. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Hear me. And many of you know, I'm running for Woodbury County Supervisor. I'm not talking about, it's okay to talk about politics and policies and merits and all that. But church, we can never forget that the real thing is Jesus. And the real thing you and I are designed and purposed and created for is to carry the name of Jesus everywhere we go and lead everybody out of the generic and out of the quarrels and controversies and over, lead them over to the one thing of Jesus and help them see Jesus clearly. That's what we're called to do. Now, why is avoiding drama doing a good work? We've been talking in Titus here how we are called to do good works. Avoiding drama is a good work because God our Father, he commanded us to guard our heart and soul. In Proverbs 4:23, it says this. Remember this. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do, or it's the wellspring of life. In the ESV, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Doing a good work is protecting your heart, your mind, your soul, church. That's a good work. And today's teaching is really about you protecting yourself, about withstanding the drama, pushing back the controversy and the quarrels. But secondly, it's also about guarding one another. But you must guard your heart and your mind and your soul. There's some things that you don't need to watch, some things you don't need to read, some things you don't need to listen to. There's some things we don't need to read, church, period. Now, I remember hearing that in my youth group thinking, oh, whatever, I'm going to listen to that hip-hop. I mean, I love hip-hop growing up. And now I look back, I'm like, man, my youth pastor sure was right. There were some things we just need to say, no, put a firm hand out to. Sorry, it's not beneficial, not profitable for me. Today we need to watch over our hearts and the heart of this church. The heart of Heartland Baptist, the heart of Morningside, heart of Sioux City First, heart of the West Lawn Presbyterian down here, heart of Radiant Life. We need to guard the heart of the churches in Siouxland and protect us from mindless genealogies, quarrels, controversies, things that just don't matter, church. We need to watch over one another. And so my two questions for us as I close here is just this. Who needs to repent of being a drama mama or a controversial Charlie, whether unintentionally or intentionally? Maybe you're here today and you need to be like, ooh, Pastor Dane, that's me. Or maybe I have that tendency to be that. I want to stir up stuff. I want to be a drama mama or a drama daddy, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. And then secondly, who needs to fortify their heart, mind, and soul by saturating yourself in the Word of God more? The only way, church, we tell the imitation from the real is knowing the real thing. Right? How many of you ate enough Oreos in your life? I'm included. You can probably tell. I've ate plenty enough Oreos. I can tell the fake imitation Hy-Vee from the real thing. Or how many of you, man, you know, though, you can taste the real Coke or the real Pepsi versus the fake stuff from Walmart. Yep. How many of you love the real thing? Man, we love the real thing of the Word of God. And I want to challenge you, church, this year, go through the Bible. Soak yourself in the Bible. Not what a pastor says, not what a book says. Soak yourself in this alone. Because from this, you will be able to defeat every argument, every weird heresy, doctrine that's out there. And there's plenty of them in the Pentecostal church out there that you can squash and shut down so that we come back to Jesus, the real thing, and we stay close to him and stay close to the gospel message that he gave us to take out. So let's pray here. And I want to say, and as we pray here, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Do you need to dive into Scripture more? Or is there areas in your life you're trying to stir up controversy and you need to say no to that and squash that and not lead people astray? So let's pray. Father, we come before you today and we say thank you for your word. Thank you for the living word. That's alive and active. And it corrects us, it rebukes us, it teaches us, it strengthens us, it gives us hope, it gives us peace, it gives us joy. We can laugh at the days to come. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that washes over us and it's a mirror that shows us where we're at, how much more we got to go, but also how much that God, you love us. And you have a plan for us and you called us by name and you've purposely created each one of us with new gifts and callings and talents to go out into our world. And so, God, I ask today that, God, you would strengthen your word in every person here, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every kid in the nursery, every kid in Kids Point. I pray that, God, they would be warriors for your word, that they put on the full armor of God, that, God, they would go out as your armor bearers and as, God, your stewards of the gospel, and that, God, they would fight valiantly for your word, and that, Jesus, they would know you've called them. But, God, I pray that we would just take time today to know your word, God, nothing else. I pray that, God, every other thing that may be a good thing, would fall away and that, God, we would go to your word, that we would be people of your word again. God, may we engage your scriptures. May we study, God. May we crave it like we crave an Oreo or a nice cold Pepsi on a hot day. God, may we crave your word, the word of God like never before in the church. And Jesus, we pray that you would send your spirit again. May we crave the spirit pouring out on us again, a fresh wind, a fresh fire, a renewal of the spirit, the baptism of the spirit, a renewal of the gifts, in this church, and every believer here in Siouxland. God, I pray that if there's any of us today that are stirring up controversy, that God, we would not be drama mamas, but God, we would be peaceable and lovable and meek, and that God, we would come before others and lead them to you, Jesus. God, help us to squash any drama in this church, anything that God would lead us away from your son, Jesus. Anything that would take the eyes and the view and the glory and splendor off Jesus, may we squash it today. May we kill it, God, and may it die. And God, we pray that, God, we would lift up your son, Jesus. And may he ever be on our lips. May he ever be before our eyes. May we ever be attentive to his voice in our lives. And I pray that today, God, you would strengthen each of us to go out and bring peace to our world that is so full of drama and controversy and hatred. God, may we be agents of peace today in Siouxland. May it be said of Crosspoint and those that call on the name of Jesus that we are peace, and we have love, and we have a joy that makes no sense. And God, we thank you for that. God, thank you, God, that you squashed the drama in our life, the sin and the chains of darkness. God, you squashed all that through your Son, and we are set free. And we are not bound anymore. And God, as the songs today, we know where we're standing now as blood-bought sons and daughters of the King. And we rejoice and we say thank you. And praise be to you, Jesus. And God, we lift up, God, your name. And we all say amen. Amen. Amen.